Good afternoon. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this new day, this Sabbath day that you've given to us. And we thank you for this opportunity to, again, look at your word. And we pray, Father, that as we do so, that you might open our eyes and ears to see wonderful things out of your law. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I thought we would start a study, as Mike mentioned, regarding Jonah's prayer. And this is a Jonah 2, verses 1 to 9, if you would like to turn there. And we have to remember that he is uttering this prayer from the belly of the great fish or whale. Then Jonah prayed unto Jehovah his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto Jehovah, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Jehovah my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Jehovah, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of Jehovah. We have to bear in mind that Jonah's experience in the whale's belly lasted 3 days and three nights, as we read in Jonah 1:17. Now, Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God associates Jonah's ordeal with Christ's suffering. This is really a picture of Christ enduring the wrath of God, which took place before the foundation of the world. The cross is merely a demonstration of what had taken place before God had created this world, before anything of this present universe came into being. And if we go to Matthew 12:38-40, we see this phrase, in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jonah 2:2 helps to clarify this phrase, the heart of the earth, in Matthew 12:40, which is a portrait of hell. And we know that hell is the grave. It is really the essence of destruction. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto Jehovah, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Of course, we've learned that the number three is highly significant as it represents the purpose of God. And in fact, it's used very frequently in connection with events leading up to the cross, the crucifixion itself, as well as events that occurred after his burial. But specifically, it refers spiritually to the sufferings of Christ. And so we see this here with Jonah's prayer. And the analogy of the grave or hell gives us additional details, which hopefully by God's mercy, our understanding will be amplified a bit as far as what Christ had to endure prior to creation. And even though we can't understand how the Savior could be annihilated, how he could rise again from the dead after that annihilation, because after all, he is eternal God. He never ceases to exist. And more than that, he's the very essence of eternal life. So hopefully, as we go through this study, we'll be able to learn a little bit better, Lord willing, about some of these details. We see, first of all, in verse 1 of Jonah 2, then Jonah prayed unto Jehovah his God out of the fish's belly. Jonah prayed, and in similar fashion, we see the Lord Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that Thursday evening, and we read about that. Let's see. I think I forgot the reference. Anyway, let me just read the passage. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. I believe this was, it's Matthew 26, starting in verse 36 and going down to verse 45. Going back to Jonah, where we read in verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto Jehovah, and he heard me. This particular Hebrew word rendered by reason of mine affliction, it's all one word, is really the start of a portrait, and a portrait of suffering, both physical as well as mental and especially spiritual, that undoubtedly Jonah faced as well as Christ faced as he was demonstrating what he had accomplished before the foundation of the world. The same word, affliction, is also found twice in Genesis 42:21, but I'd like to read verses 17 to 23 just to get the context. It's the account of Joseph, who also is a tremendous picture of Christ himself, as he had been elevated by God to be the second in command of all of Egypt. And of course, his brothers came to him not recognizing initially who he was, and they lament the fact that they had thrown Joseph into a pit and later sold him to a caravan of Ishmaelites who were headed to Egypt. Starting in verse 17 of Genesis 42, it says, "And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses, but bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul." This is the word affliction that we find here in Jonah 2, verse 2. It's also in the next verse as well, or actually the latter part of this verse. It's the word distress. I'll read it again. "And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear? Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. Also, if we go to Psalm 25, 17 through 18, this word affliction is translated troubles. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. We see something similar in Psalm 143, verses 7 through 11, where in verse 11, it's translated out of trouble. Hear me speedily, O Jehovah, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Jehovah, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Jehovah, for thy name's sake." And that word quicken is the word to make alive. "For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. As I was studying this passage, I realized that there are actually two different words for belly that God uses in the first two verses of Jonah 2. The first one in verse 1 also appears in Jonah 1:17, where it's rendered in the belly. But notice how God links this word with the 3 days and three nights. Now, Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The second occurrence is in Jonah 2:1. Then Jonah prayed unto Jehovah his God out of the fish's belly. This first word is commonly rendered bowels, and in approximately a third of the references, it points to giving birth. Once, in fact, it's translated in my womb. We find this in Ruth 1:1, in which the widow Naomi, having lost her husband, Elimelech, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, by death, asks her two Moabitish daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, this question. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands?" This particular word also symbolizes a great emotional upheaval or turmoil in one's innermost being or heart or in one's soul. We see this in Psalm 40, verses 7 through 8, where it's rendered my heart. And of course, this verse is speaking, as a number of the messianic psalms do, about the Lord Jesus himself. "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." As I said, this verse on the surface is positive, but if we take these same words, "not my will, but thine be done," as they're uttered in the Garden of Gethsemane, the phrase takes on a totally different meaning, as Hebrews 5:7 affirms. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, in that he feared." So the imagery of birth and the pain associated with birth by extension, or a similar excruciating pain, is what is really being expressed by this first Hebrew word, belly. The second Hebrew word in the phrase, "out of the belly of hell," only surfaces in the book of Jonah, in Jonah 2:2. However, it's similar to the first word in that it too is related to giving birth, or the womb, or literally to one's stomach or one's body. But generally, it doesn't express the degree of pain as the first word, belly, did, but rather it states the action of what is taking place, if you will. Here are a few illustrations. In Job 1:21, Job utters this wonderful truth and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah hath taken away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah." And this is right after he learns about the deaths of his seven sons and three daughters, and having lost all, if not most of his wealth. And so it's a wonderful statement of trust in God. Remember, his wife said, curse God and die. And he tells her, no, you're speaking as one of the foolish women. Shall we not receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil, which is really the word calamity. And so it's a wonderful admonition for us as we recognize that God is in total control of a believer's life. And even what we might view as tragedy, God can turn that around as for blessing. And we see that in Job's latter end. It says that he was blessed, doubly blessed, more so than in the beginning. And for this reason, he's mentioned in James, where it speaks about the patience of Job, the suffering that Job went through, and how the end of the Lord is mercy. It's great, great pity. Similarly, if we go to Ecclesiastes 11:5, we find this declaration, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. As I mentioned, the word belly, out of the belly of hell, is especially significant because it points altogether to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this word, hell, is the word Sheol, and it's actually interchangeable with the word grave, and it's found 63 times in the Old Testament. And we'll just look at a few of these. It's also found in another prayer. This is Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 2:6, where we find this declaration, Jehovah killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. And that bringing up has to do, of course, with the resurrection. And we see this, and hopefully we'll see it even more clearly as we go through Jonah, because he's in the whale's belly 3 days and three nights, and then he is, the whale shoots him out somehow, I'm not sure, but he lands then on the beach. And then he continues with the mission that originally God had given to him to preach judgment to the Ninevites for 40 days and 40 nights. Also, if we go to Job 17:13, we see another example of this word Sheol. If I wait, the grave is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness. Also, Psalm 88, verse 3, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. And in Psalm 89:48, we find this question that is being posed. What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. And of course, we know that with a few exceptions, Elijah, Enoch, they were translated. They did not see death. But this is the lot of all mankind. In fact, God tells us in Genesis 3:19b, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Also, an interesting passage with regard to Sheol, or the grave, has to do with Satan himself in Isaiah 14:11-15. It says there, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. This is verse 15, to the sides of the pit. going back to Jonah, the Hebrew word that is translated to swallow up, I want to just back up a bit, in verse Jonah 1:17 is worth examining a little further, because it also helps to underscore this reality of death and destruction that's associated with the grave, and of course is associated with the belly of the whale. We find it, for example, in Exodus 15:12. It's translated here also as, well, let me read Jonah 1:17. Now, Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. This word swallow up is in Exodus 15:12, and it says there, thou stretchest out, this is speaking about God, thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Now, the context, as many of you know, of Exodus 15 recounts the victory that God had over Pharaoh Thutmose III and his army, all of whom perished in the Red Sea after having safely delivered the Israelites on dry ground. And even though this is speaking about the Red Sea, God chose to use the word earth to swallow Pharaoh and his troops, because, as I mentioned, in Genesis 3:19b, that is where we return. We return to the dust. We return to the ground. And that is the picture here in Exodus 15:12. Also, we find the same word earth and ground in Isaiah 14:9-12. And this, of course, points to Satan's demise, using the same word, earth and ground. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? And we also have to keep in mind that when God speaks of Pharaoh, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. Psalm 69, which is another messianic psalm and one that exemplifies Christ's sufferings, also is very similar in some of the language to what we read in Jonah's prayer. It says there, to the chief musician, this is verses 1 and 2 and 13 and 15, to the chief musician upon Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. But as for me, this is verse 13 now, my prayer is unto thee, O Jehovah, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. I think we'll stop here and then continue next time, Lord willing, in this study of Jonah. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Father, again, we thank you that we've been able to spend a little bit of time in your word in looking at Jonah's prayer. And we pray, Father, that you might continue to open our ears and our eyes to the spiritual truths in your word. And we ask these things with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.